What got you here won't get you there. How successful people become even more successful. Authors: Marshall Goldsmith and Mark Reiter. All of us in the workplace delude ourselves about our achievements, our status, and our contribution. We overestimate our contribution to a project. These delusions are a direct result of success, not failure. This is not necessarily a bad thing. This wacky delusional belief in our godlike omniscience instills us with confidence. But our delusions become a serious liability when we need to change. We sit there with the same godlike feelings, and when someone tries to make us change our ways, we regard them with unadulterated bafflement. The 21 habits that hold you back from the top. There are challenges in interpersonal behavior, often leadership behavior. They are the egregious everyday annoyances that make your workplace substantially more noxious than it needs to be. They are: habit number one, winning too much. There's a fine line between being competitive and over-competitive, between winning when it counts and when no one's counting. Successful people cross that line with alarming frequency. Habit number two, adding too much value. This is a variation on the need to win. The need to add value. It's common amongst leaders used to running the show. They still retain remnants of the top-down management style where their job was to tell everyone what to do. Habit number three, passing judgment. Even in the most gentle, intimate moments, when people are offering us their most acute snapshots of ourselves, we can't help passing judgment. We can't help ranking what they tell us, lining it up as more pleasing or insightful than what we expected them to say, or what we think ourselves, or what we have heard from others on the same subject. Habit number four, making destructive comments. Destructive comments are the cutting sarcastic remarks we spew out daily, with or without intention, that serve no other purpose than to put people down, hurt them, or assert ourselves as their superiors. Habit number five, starting with no, but, or however. When you start a sentence with no, but, however, or any variation thereof, the message to the other person is, you are wrong. The general response from the other person is to dispute your position and fight back. Habit number six, telling the world how smart we are. We need to win people's admiration. We need to let them know that we're at least their intellectual equal, if not their superior. For example, we do this more overtly when we tell someone, I already knew that. The problem here is not that we are merely boasting about how much we know, we are insulting the other person. Habit number seven, speaking when angry. Emotion volatility is not the most reliable leadership tool. When you get angry, you're usually out of control. It's hard to lead people when you've lost control. Habit number eight, negativity. We all know the negative people in the workplace. They are the people who are constitutionally incapable of saying something positive or complimentary to any of your suggestions. Habit number nine, withholding information. Intentionally withholding information is the opposite of adding value. We are deleting value. Yet it has the same purpose, gaining power. Habit number 10, failing to give proper recognition. This is a sibling of withholding information. In withholding your recognition of another person's contribution to a team's success, you are not only sowing injustice and treating people unfairly, but you are depriving people of the emotional payoff that comes with success. Habit number 11, claiming credit that we don't deserve. Claiming credit is two crimes in one. We're not only depriving people of the credit they deserve, but we are also hogging it for ourselves. Habit number 12, making excuses. When you hear yourself saying, I'm sorry I'm late, but the traffic was murder. Stop talking at the word sorry. Blaming the traffic is a lame excuse and doesn't excuse the fact that you kept people waiting. You should have started earlier. Habit number 13, clinging to the past. Many people enjoy living in the past, especially if going back there lets them blame someone else for anything that's gone wrong in their lives. That's when clinging to the past sometimes becomes an interpersonal problem. Habit number 14, playing favorites. Almost all leaders say that they will never encourage such a thing in their organizations. However, they still play favorites, mainly because we can't see in ourselves what we can see so clearly in others. Habit number 15, refusing to express regret. We think apologizing means we've lost a contest. Refusing to apologize causes as much ill will in the workplace as any other interpersonal flaw. Habit number 16, not listening. This is certainly one of the most common flaws amongst leaders. When you fail at listening, you're sending out an armada of negative messages like, I don't care about you, you're wrong, I don't understand you, you're stupid, or you're wasting my time. Habit number 17, failing to express gratitude. Like apologizing, thanking is a magical super gesture of interpersonal relations. It's what you say when you have nothing nice to say, and it will never annoy the person hearing it. Habit number 18, punishing the messenger. Until someone points it out to us, we are not aware how we punish the messenger all day long. It's a momentary snort of disgust you exhale when your assistant reports that the boss is too busy to see you. It's not your assistant's fault that the boss is avoiding you. Habit number 19. Passing the buck. Passing the buck is blaming others for our mistakes. When we pass the buck, everyone notices and no one is impressed. Passing the buck is the dark flip side of claiming credit that others deserve. Instead of depriving others of their rightful glory for a success, we wrongfully saddle them with the shame of our failure. Habit number 20. An excessive need to be me. Each of us has a pile of behavior which we define as me. It's the chronic behavior, both positive and negative, that we think of as our inalterable essence. If we're the type of person who's chronically poor at returning phone calls, we mentally give ourselves a pass every time we fail to get back to other callers. This misguided loyalty to our true natures, this excessive need to be me, is one of the toughest obstacles to making positive long-term changes in our behavior. The 21st habit, goal obsession. Goal obsession is the force at play when we get so wrapped up in achieving our goal that we do it at the expense of a larger mission. It turns us into someone we shouldn't be. How we can change for the better. 1. Apologizing. Apologizing is regarded as the most magical, healing, restorative gesture human beings can make. 2. Telling the world. After you apologize, you must advertise. You have to declare exactly in what area you plan to change. Your odds improve even more if you ask everyone for ideas to help you get better. Now your co-workers become invested in you. They pay attention to you to see if you're paying attention to their suggestions. And eventually the message sinks in, and people start to accept the possibility of a new, improved you. 3. Listening. Good listeners regard what they do as a highly active process with every muscle engaged, especially the brain. 4. Thanking. Thanking works because it expresses one of our most basic emotions, gratitude. Get used to saying thank you. You're going to need this skill in your steps towards change. 5. Following up. Now that you've mastered the art of apologizing, advertising, listening, and thanking, you must follow up relentlessly. Ask your colleagues if you have effectively put change into practice. If you do this on a regular basis, your colleagues will eventually begin to accept that you are getting better. Not because you say so, but because it's coming from their lips.